Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the June 17th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Villa Grove School Board, Insurance Costs Up, Handbook Changes by Jacob Hamm. The Villa Grove School District will be paying slightly more in insurance costs for the next school year and made some modifications to school district policies. The board will be paying increased deductible costs, such as property damage deductible being increased from $5,000 to $10,000. The deductible costs for wind and hail damage will be increased to $25,000 due to rising costs in the insurance industry. The board also increased the limit for sexual abuse lawsuits from $1 million to $3 million, which was recommended to the board by the insurance industry. The board voted to keep district costs and fees flat for the upcoming school year, with the lunch fee going up 10 cents. Registration and other costs for parents will remain the same compared to last school year. Changes were also made to the district policy handbook. The district updated the cell phone policy to reflect recent changes in state law, which bans cell phone use during instruction time. The district enacted a policy requiring students to keep their cell phones in their lockers and turn them off from 7:45 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. The district also banned the consumption and possession of energy drinks for children in fifth grade and earlier. Board members discussed teachers having issues containing young children with energy drinks. The next article, Arcola City Council, Laying Groundwork for Downtown Rehab by David Porter. During Monday's Arcola City Council meeting, Hannah Myers reported on a successful inaugural slip and stroll event that brought 125 to 150 people together. The next one is set for next Thursday with different food trucks and music. Eric Reeder of Reeder Area Development introduced himself and explained his work in helping communities reinvigorate their downtown districts. He said he spent the day looking at downtown buildings and talking to owners. The board approved the annual review of the Workers' Compensation Self-Insurance Trust, the WCSIT, at a cost of $39,500, up from $37,000 the prior year. The board also approved the renewal of Illinois High School Catastrophic Injury Insurance for senior high school athletes, a policy that has not changed in price for many years. The board additionally approved a quote from the Illinois County Risk Management Trust for property and liability insurance for the 2026-2027 year in the amount of $88,500. On second reading, the board approved handbook changes for the 2026-2027 school year and also approved the second reading of school board policies from the March 2026 press packet. Included in that packet was Policy 740, addressing non-public school students, including parochial and homeschooled students, and their eligibility for part-time attendance in extracurricular activities. That issue was voted on separately and approved 6-1. The board approved the purchase of 10 ViewSonic interactive display boards on the amount of $24,600. Mulligan noted that several new staff members had requested boards and additional teachers expressed interest in the upcoming school year. He said it would be several years before additional boards are needed. Upon questioning, he added the cost was about the same as boards previously purchased. Nearly every classroom now has one, he said. The board approved a quote for 7th and 8th grade science curriculum, materials and training through the Amplify Science program at an estimated cost of $21,000 for a 2-year period. The curriculum features hands-on lab activities emphasizing decision-making, drawing, inferences, and writing, skills also assessed on the ACT science portion. The junior-senior high school principal, Nick Lindsay, said the curriculum comes with multiple of experiments and requires more writing, which he said fits with the district's goals. Mulligan noted that supplies are part of the value of the art and science curricula, and the district hasn't had new science curriculum in more than a decade. The board approved the amended budget for the 2025-2026 as presented. The board also approved an interfund transfer from the working cash fund to the education fund for technology-related expenses and a separate interfund transfer from the working cash fund to the transportation fund for transportation expenses. Breakfast and lunch prices for 2026-2027 will increase by 10 cents. The board voted to continue eliminating all student fees for the upcoming school year with the exception of the technology insurance fee, driver's education fee, and dual credit fees. The board also approved a 60-month copier lease agreement with Watts Copier for 4 copiers and approved Arcola First Mid Bank and Trust as bank depository for 2026-2027. Industrial Services of Illinois received approval to recoat the east side standing seam dome roofs of the high school at a cost of $8,700. The re-coating work, which had not been performed in at least seven years, will include cleaning, applying silicone coating over the rusted areas, and finishing the entire surface. The board also approved replacing another section of the football field fence, which is part of the district's 5-year capital improvement plan, with a budget amount of about $25,000. The board approved A revised job description for the district-wide assistant principal position. Following a closed session, the board approved hiring Tiffany Cummins as speech pathologist. The board approved the amended 2025-2026 school calendar, which incorporates emergency days used during the year. The board also approved the fiscal year 27 district consolidation plan, allowing the district to apply for federal grant funds and approved transportation costs with Gould Transportation for 2026-2027. The board approved activity fund accounts for the class of 2030 and ACE athletes and closed the activity fund accounts for the class of 2026. The board also approved the district's benchmark and progress monitoring assessment shifting to Renaissance Star at an annual cost of $8,400. Administrative reports. Elementary principal Marissa Brewer reported that CKLA training has been a major focus and end-of-the-year activities are underway, including field trips and class picnics. Approximately 120 letters were sent home regarding the summer jumpstart program, with 16 students signed up so far. Brewer also highlighted a strong attendance year at the elementary level, with one student finishing the year with no absences and 199 students maintaining above a 95% attendance rate. Custodial staff and teachers have been rearranging classrooms into grade level order for the new school year. All grade levels have met with the instructional coach to map out key standards for the upcoming year. Junior senior high school principal Nick Lindsay noted the graduation season concluded smoothly, crediting class sponsors, teachers, and staff. He reported a 2025 graduate, Shelby Roberts-McGeehan, recently illustrated a children's book and donated copies to the school library. Educator Dan Butler received the Distinguished Educator Award from the ROE. The school is requesting the Amplify Science curriculum for grades 6 through 8, and two retirees were recognized. The district also addressed two students who did not meet graduation requirements, with one currently enrolled in summer school. Lindsay also noted that it was difficult losing a student at the school recently, and Mulligan and social workers would be available throughout the summer to help other students cope with the loss. Mulligan provided updates on several agenda items and noted that the city of Arcola has shifted its approach on housing development along Route 133. The city still intends to move forward with development using remaining TIF, tax increment funding, funds for land purchase and infrastructure, but is now pursuing a newly tightly controlled TIF structure rather than a direct housing abatement arrangement. The board may be approached about a joint meeting to discuss the process. The next article is from the Arcola City Council, Laying Groundwork for Downtown Rehab, by David Porter. During Monday's Arcola Council meeting, Dehanna Myers reported on the successful inaugural SIP. The next article is Blue Envelope Program Aimed at Helping Drivers on Spectrum, by Jacob Hamm. Illinois lawmakers passed HB 4472 in the spring session, which established a Blue Envelope Program for drivers on the autism spectrum. The bill establishes the program through the Secretary of State's office by partnering with the Autism Hero Project to develop the envelopes and distribute them to the public. The envelopes contain a copy of the driver's license and regulation inside and say on the outside of the envelope that the driver is on the autism spectrum. The envelope also has two emergency contacts for the officers to use if they need to contact someone for the driver. The envelopes also will contain other information about the driver that the officer can use during a traffic stop, such as their communication abilities, such as their nonverbal, or have other communication habits compared to those who are not on the autism spectrum. Many municipalities across the state have begun adopting the program, including the Arcola. Brandy Smith, an officer with the Arcola Police Department, discussed the program and how it will benefit her department and other police forces across the state. So if they hand us this envelope, we're going to realize this person may exhibit communication styles that are different. They may didn't have us turn the lights off because it may be overwhelming, Smith said. She said the envelopes will help officers communicate with the driver more effectively. She also said the police department and the states are required to undergo training for autism. It gives us awareness of how individuals will act, such as stemming, because some individuals need some kind of self-soothe, either by fidget toys or flapping their hands, those kinds of things. So it will give us insight on what we expect when we're talking with them, Smith said. She did clarify that police officers will never ask a diagnosis during a traffic stop, nor does the department keep track of who receives these envelopes. Smith also follows these efforts to raise awareness about autism with emergency response agencies across the state and county. She and her department have recently joined forces with law enforcement agencies in Macon County regarding this program. Smith also follows the progress that nonprofit is making to have blue envelopes programs passed in other states. She said she has distributed a few envelopes already in the community. Smith asked that anyone who has any additional questions about the program or is interested in obtaining an envelope can visit the Arcola Municipal website or contact the city's police department. The next article, More Energy Assistance Available for Central Illinois Customers, by Jacob Hamm. The summer months can bring lots of stress about energy costs as the temperatures climb. The Energy Assistant Foundation operates with the Warm Neighbors, Cool Friends program, which helps customers who do not meet the criteria for LIHEAP help pay their power bills in the summer and winter months. Susan Sams, the executive director of the Energy Assistance Foundation, said the foundation covers most areas in Illinois served by Ameren, or about 44,000 square miles in the central and southern regions of the state. We normally spend about $800,000 a year on energy assistance. This year we've received a $2 million grant from Ameren, Sams said. She said the foundation aims to spend the entire $2 million. It's a great program to have to use those extra funds, she said. To qualify for this program, customers must have a documented disability that requires air conditioning, be a senior citizen, have a financial need for assistance, or fit within the income criteria that can be checked on their website at warmneighborsschoolfriends.org/items-2. A person or household must fall between the 200 and 300% level of the federal poverty level or 80% of the county's median income. A household of four can qualify for Warm Neighbors, Cool Friends if they make between $6,400 and $8,000 per month. Here in Douglas County, the foundation partners with the Ambarao River Basin Agency to provide assistance to local residents. Sam said the organization matches what customers pay up to $500 in the winter months. One of the things we're most proud of is we match customers for what they pay, she said. And the next article, Arcola Overrun by Raggedy Ann Dolls at Annual Rally by Jacob Hamm. Hundreds of people from across the area and the country gathered in Arcola for the 37th Annual Raggedy Ann Parade and Festival. Mick Howery, one of the key organizers for the event, said people traveled from as far as California this year to trade, sell, and buy dolls and enjoy the festivities. In the past, they've come from as far as California, Japan, and Canada, he said. Howery said approximately 200 people came to take part in the celebration this year. He volunteered with his wife about a decade ago to revive the festival after it declined in popularity. They used the power of the internet, such as Facebook groups and pages where collectors share their interests in trade dolls with each other, to grow the festival again. Many people gathered in the Arcola Community Center on Friday and Saturday to socialize and observe the various items. The parade took place in downtown Arcola Saturday afternoon with a few dozen people in costumes marching in the parade alongside the mayor, senior citizens, and military veterans. Howery and his wife, Kathy, said one of their favorite things about the festival is that people travel back year after year. It's amazing Arcola, she said. She enjoys the camaraderie of people of returning to the celebration year after year. At the beginning of the celebration this year, there were thousands of dolls in the community center to look at, buy, and buy. Now there are a few hundred. The next article, U.S. Flags Retired with Dignity by Jacob Hamm. The Raggedy Ann Festival was not the only noteworthy event in Arcola on Saturday. Immediately after the parade, the Arcola Veterans of Foreign Wars and the American Legion hosted a flag retirement ceremony at the Arcola Community Center. According to Bob Dowler, commander of the American Legion, which previously served in the United States Army, 54 flags were retired at the ceremony. The flags were given by community members and military veterans whose flags had been torn or tattered due to the weather or other elements. The ceremony took place at about 1:30 p.m. with about 10 people in attendance. Dower led the ceremony along with Bob Gillian, who's with the Arcola VFW and a Navy veteran, assisting in the reading of which stars represent the flag. As the leaders take turns reading what each stripe symbolizes, with the leader receiving the white stripes and the second participant receiving the red stripes, the flag is lowered more into the fire. After all 13 stripes are read by the leaders, the Pledge of Allegiance is read facing a flag in use, and the rest of the ceremony begins. Each flag is placed into the fire one at a time and saluted by those who place the flag into the fire. The ceremony was the fifth one that has been held in Arcola. The next article, Curiosity Courtyard to Break Ground. New outdoor playscape at Arthur Public Library is in partnership with Children's Museum of Illinois to encourage hands-on learning and critical math skills. On June 24th at 12 noon, the Arthur Public Library and Children's Museum of Illinois invite the community to celebrate the official groundbreaking of the Curiosity Courtyard, a new outdoor playscape located at the Arthur Public Library. The project is designed to connect families with hands-on learning opportunities, marking a significant investment in youth education. The groundbreaking will be held together community members, partners, and supporters to commemorate the life of start of construction. Speakers include Kelsey Pruitt, Executive Director of the Arthur Public Library, Ricky Parker, Executive Director of the Children's Museum of Illinois, Natalie Beck, CEO of Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, and Rob Randall, Village President, each highlighting the project's anticipated impact. This project is particularly meaningful to me, said Parker. I grew up in Arthur and spent hours at the library every summer. It's such an honor to be able to bring the joy of play and hands-on experience to the place that shaped me. I cannot wait to see the space full of kids and life. The team at the Arthur Public Library and our Board of Trustees are excited to help bring this project to life, said Pruitt. For several years, we've been discussing creative ways to expand the usable space available to our patrons and to create new opportunities for families to engage with the library. When Ricky shared her vision for the Curiosity Courtyard, it was a perfect answer to what need. The project will provide a space where children and families can learn, play, read, and connect while visiting the library, helping to extend our mission beyond our building and into the heart of the community. The Curiosity Courtyard will feature outdoor musical instruments, a cozy cabin for reading and imaginative play, and oversized board games. All activities will connect to math, supplementing and adding new element to the library's focus on reading and literacy. Once complete, the project will be open to the public during regular library hours. Construction is scheduled to begin this summer with an anticipated completion date by early August. The event will conclude with a ceremonial turning of the soil with participation from children, donors, and community leaders. For more information about the Curiosity Courtyard, contact Ricky Parker or Kelsey Pruitt. We'll move now to the obituaries. Carolyn F. Wolfe, 82, of Lovington, passed away at 1:45 p.m. Thursday, June 11, 2026, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Celebration of life services will be at 12 noon, Saturday, June 20th, at the Archie L. Sanders Chapel at Thomason Cemetery, Wayne City. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturday at the chapel. Burial will be in the Thomason Cemetery in Wayne City. Ivan Mulvaney, 89, of Arcola, passed away at 4:30 a.m. on Friday, May 29, 2026, at his residence. Private family graveside services will be held at the Bement Cemetery at a later date. Schrader Funeral Home, Arthur, has assisted family with arrangements. The next article, Arthur Women's Club Closing After 90-some Years, by Marty Yackel. While officially the date for the establishment of the Arthur Women's Club is 1935, the actual history of the club and its different iterations is a little more murky than that. Early information found in the club's history files before 1935 states that the club was organized in 1908, but no other information about that has been found by this writer, even the club's files or the Arthurographic newspaper archives. In 1916 through 17, there are booklets referring to the club as the Arthur Women's Club. Other information found between 1938 and 1950 refers to the Junior Women's Club. After 1951, these same booklets show the name as the Arthur Evening Women's Club until it became the Arthur Women's Club at some point. Ken's information from the newspaper article in 2015 states that in 1935, a group called the Arthur Women's Club already existed and met in the afternoon. A group of younger ladies preferred an evening meeting time, so they decided to form the Junior Women's Club, which was chartered in August 27, 1935. This eventually became the Arthur Evening Women's Club, which is now the present-day Arthur Women's Club, thus making the official 1935 year for the original organization. Meetings over the years were held in various places, members' homes, churches, Fleming Funeral Home, and eventually the Legion Hall on Pine Street, where Ann Singer's home is today. The booklets mentioned containing names of members, past presidents, bylaws, committees, and meetings, among other things. Notably, women were usually mentioned using their husband's name even up until the current century. Some of those names are familiar to older people in Arthur, such as Mrs. Reese Watkins, Mrs. Richard Baker, Mrs. Everett Fitzgerald, Mrs. Carwin Craig, Mrs. Carter Odom, Mrs. Everett Bradford, Mrs. Delbert Albers, to name just a few of the charter members in 1935. More recently are some current members, Mrs. Lawrence Asherman, Mrs. John Daly, Mrs. Terry Furcho, Mrs. Clifford Kaufman, Mrs. John Mallon, Mrs. Danny Miller, Mrs. Mark Yoder, who have all served as presidents of the organization. The purpose of the organization is still the same as it was in 1935. The club is organized to promote civic betterment, social and educational entertainment for its members. The group's goal is to improve health, education opportunities, and in building community spirit through various programs, sponsorship of festivals and special events, fundraising activities, scholarships for graduating seniors, as well as supporting our schools and residents of the community in various ways to meet the needs of all. In 1985, a dinner and style show was held to celebrate the club's 50th anniversary, and a style show was held in 1995 for the 60th anniversary. Carolyn Haney even wrote a song to commemorate that event. Clothing from the 30s, 40s, and 50s and 60s was featured. Arthur Women's Club has probably been best known over the years for running the fair stand at the Moultrie Douglas Fair each summer. Records indicate that this started in 1945 when the fair was held at the grade school. In 1951, a tent was erected at the present-day site of the fair and the stand. The fair stand was the main fundraiser for many years for the club. Iris Dix, a member since 1959, and Arlene Asherman, a member since 57, remember setting up and taking down the fair stand was a real chore and hard work. Early on, there were dirt floors, and Iris remembers walking in the mud at many times. The equipment for the stand was located above what is now Steve Howell's barber shop on Vine Street, and moving the equipment and tables up and down the stairs was very difficult. Club members' husbands were a great help during those years, and they were rewarded with a big turkey feast in the fall to thank them. As most remember, there is almost always a big storm during the fair week, and finally in 1968, a permanent structure, the one we see today, was put in place. Barbara Garrix was president at that time, and her husband Glenn, along with other members' husbands, were a big help with the building. This made a big difference as supplies and equipment could not be kept in one place year-round. Women club members were helped back in those days. Many have many stories to tell about the work, the late nights, and mostly the fun they had at the fair stand. One favorite memory from the early years was spending 2 days cooking barbecue for the stand, first in members' kitchens and later when it became too big for a home kitchen at the Methodist Church. This writer, who is now also a women's club member, memory of the fair stand back in the day was how much I looked forward to the year I got to work at the stand. The club did this in order to help students earn money toward their senior trip. This tradition went on for many years and is just one example of the organization's way of helping students. Recently, women's club members have had the stand open during the Freedom Celebration and fireworks. For the past 2 years, the Arthur JFL parents and players have manned the stand during the fair and Freedom Celebration. Once the fair stand became more expensive and less profitable for the club, other resources for fundraising became necessary, and in 2003, the club took over the Labor Day Cheese Festival Rat Race, which continued until last year. Because the ladies of the club knew nothing about running a rat race, they were very appreciative that Dave Crist helped them get started. Various events such as the 5K, 10K race, 1 mile fun run, Pat Wood Memorial 5K walk, and the popular cheese chase for the kids were part of the event. Many hundreds of participated in this throughout the years, and many walkers and runners made it part of their annual tradition during the Labor Day weekend. Club member Pat Burdick remembered that children of club members were given the opportunity to design t-shirts for the Cheese Chaser event. Her son Cody designed the shirt when he was 11 and was very proud to ride on the Labor Day parade. Another annual event that the Arthur Women's Club supported was the Halloween Festival, which predates the involvement of the Women's Club. Club members were involved in various aspects of the festival in early years, but in 1978, the club officially took over sponsorship of the event. Games, haunted houses, and costume contests took place in the high school gym until just a few years ago when the park district started a trunk-or-treat event in Eberhard Park, and club members in costume handed out candy at the park. The Easter egg hunt started sometime in the 1950s, with AWC taking it over in 1980. In the early years, it was Eberhard Park and was later moved to an old football field at the high school, or inside if the weather was bad. This past spring was the last year for that event, and hopefully some other organization will take over running that hunt. Arthur Women's Club often teamed up with other community organizations, such as the Arthur Association of Commerce, for events like Breakfast with Santa at Yoder's Kitchen. In the past few years, Master Brand has been the co-sponsor for AAOC. AWC also sponsored a Christmas house decorating contest in the last few years with prizes given for the best decorations. In 2013 and 2014, the club held a daddy-daughter dance, which was well attended and much fun, not only for club members' husbands and their kids, but for people in all communities and elsewhere. A project started by and supported by the AWC was a nursery school, which started in 1970, was held at the Methodist Church. It eventually moved to the school and then after some renovations into the Legion Hall. Current member Beth Daly Wiley recalls her mother Sharon and Bernadine Yoder spending many hours on the phone talking about the nursery school. The school eventually closed in May of 1993. Going back a little further in the club's history, an early project in 1955 was getting a hitch rack moved from the north side of the grade school to Progress Street for the health and safety of our youths. Over the years, Arthur Women's Club helped buy playground equipment for the grade school in Eberhard Park. A reading table, benches, and books were purchased for the Arthur Library. Money was given toward new streetlights, winter coats, and glove drives were held many years. Donations were given to the Arthur Fire Department and the EMTs. Flowering crabs were planted along Vine Street and bought supplies for the schools. Current club member Lynn Marlin remembers when she was secretary in the grade school and how Women's Club often donated money for assemblies. She stated, "We could never have afforded the assemblies if it had not been for the generosity of the Women's Club." Women's Club has given money to students for band and music camps and provided scholarships for graduating seniors. Many thousands of dollars and dozens of students, possibly hundreds, were recipients of these scholarships. Another tradition that lasted many years was the clubs providing cakes and cookies on a monthly basis to celebrate birthdays at what is now Eberhard Village. The late Marilyn Kitchen was the coordinator for this effort, which was much appreciated by the residents. Flower shop owner and club member Anita Kreitzinger supplied flowers and decorations to go along with the cakes and cookies. End of an era. While it is sad to see the club end after 90-plus years, members hope that others may take up some of the duties that they've been happy to be a part of for all these years. Many, many hours of willing dedication to make our community a better place, Kent wrote back in 2015, and it's still true today. So many years of festivals, food fundraisers, and fun by so many Arthur women who are members for a few or most of their lives, all to make our community a better place to live for everyone while having a good time while doing so. As Arlene Asherman stated back in 2015, I've been so proud of all the club has accomplished over the years for our community. Arthur Women's Club plans to have a display of memorabilia and pictures showing the club's history at the Arthur Public Library soon. Stop in and check it out. The next article, Stories Looking for Buyer for Flesser's Candy Kitchen. Candy makers Bob and Devin Story are ready to make a sweet deal for the next generation. Flesser's Candy Kitchen in Tuscola is officially for sale. Devin's grandfather, Gus Flesser, bought the business in 1904. She and her sister Anne revived it after it sat empty for many years. After Anne retired, Devin and Bob took over, but they too are ready to retire. Devin said she realizes that buying business and building outright could be much more too much for a young entrepreneur, so she's willing to work with the right person to figure out how to make it work. She posted in last week's social media, "Dear friends of Flesser's Candy Kitchen, a few months ago, my husband Bob and I made the decision to list for sale the three buildings that house our iconic business. Why, you ask? Like many older people, we'd like to retire. It's that simple. It's also true that members of the next generation, although they love our store in Tuscola, have decided they do not want to work 6 or 7 days a week in the town they grew up in. They're using the wings they grew right here and in college. We want you to know that Bob and I are not closing the doors. We have a mortgage and other bills to pay, and we really, really, really would like to teach some young entrepreneur how to make candy and ice cream. Crazy, huh? At this juncture, we're even willing to sell part of our property to someone with a good idea, business experience, and financial backing. Furthermore, we would love to see our second floor developed, and we would even be willing to flip our two kitchens. Scaling back might be one way to secure the future of Flesser's Candy Kitchen. We'd love to reimagine our little corner of the universe. Yes, it may take quite some time to find those hard-working dreamers we seek. That is why we need to start looking now. In the weeks and months ahead, we'll be developing more social media, perhaps even a form of educational and I hope funny videos, for two reasons. To show the public and potential buyers how to make candy the crazy way we do it, and to leave a visual archive for our family members and for all those customers and contributors who have loved and supported us these past 22 years. Stay tuned. And we have time for some briefs. Tuscola VBS. The First Christian Church, 100 East Church Street, Tuscola, hosts Vacation Bible School June 28th through July 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. each evening. This year's theme is Sermon on the Mount. VBS is open to students in 1st through 4th grades. Registration is available at fcctuscola.com. Nooner Family Benefit. A benefit for the Nooner family we held Sunday, June 28th at the Tuscola Community Center beginning at 11 a.m. The event will feature a silent auction and a 50-50 raffle with winners announced at 4 p.m. A dart tournament is also planned with registration from noon to 1 p.m. There is a cost to participate. Pulled pork, chips, and beans will be available for purchase. DJ music will run from noon to 3 p.m. followed by live music from Courtney and the Meeks from 3 to 6 p.m. The benefit is being held to support the family of Tessa Nooner, who suffered a severe brain injury and under heavy sedation. Those wishing to contribute in advance may do so at Venmo at M. Nooner. Arthur Events, June 18th, groundbreaking at ALAH High School. June 20th, third Saturday Bazaar at Auto Center. June 24th, summer toy auction at Tri-County Auction Facility. June 24th, groundbreaking at Arthur Public Library. June 27th, Freedom Celebration Parade, downtown Arthur at 2 p.m. June 27th, Rotary Freedom Celebration Fireworks Show at Jurgens Park. June 30th, American Red Cross Blood Drive at Arthur United Methodist Church. July 3rd and 4th, Horse Progress Days at the Laverne Yoder Farm. Blood Drives, Arthur Community Blood Drive, June 30th. An American Red Cross Blood Drive sponsored by the Arthur Ministerial Association and the Arthur Lions Club will be held in the Arthur community on Tuesday, June 30th from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Arthur United Methodist Church Fellowship Hall. The Red Cross is asking donors to call and or register this time instead of just walking in if possible. Walk-ins will be accepted, but might wait longer. You can make an appointment online at redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Tuscola United Methodist Church, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday, June 25th, in the Fellowship Hall, 901 North Prairie Street. Visit bloodcenter.org or call 800-747-5401 to schedule an appointment. Use code 71203. And that is all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerking. Say goodbye and see you again next week.